This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. We start every week with Brooke Stockburger, the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin. Brooke, good to have you here.
Yeah, good to be here, Fred. Thanks.
All right. Let's start off with good news. It's always nice, especially when we're looking at the front page and we're looking at the news section, to start with something that's really good news. And I love stories about young people who are doing amazing things. And as technically challenged as I am, this one particularly impresses me. We have a local middle schooler who has actually gotten honored for building an app. And this was through, I guess, MIT, right?
Yeah, he was honored by Massachusetts Institute of Technology just recently. He's at Sierra Middle School. Mustafa is his name, and he has worked on an app and created one. And matter of fact, on I do believe it is Thursday, July 31st, he's going to be speaking about it here at NMSU. So he's giving a talk. Recently, just earlier this month, he did travel up to Massachusetts, where MIT was holding a competition, and he won first place. There were even college students involved in this competition.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He took first place. So.
Can you imagine being a college student there and you have a middle schooler that beats you to the punch? That is amazing.
Yeah, that is. And it's health related. It has to deal with your heart rate and incorporates heart rate sensor. It is attached to the ear. You have an armband that has a light emitting diode, an LED light. To blink in a color code to monitor your heart rate. And he said that he spent several years working on this. And it also includes information about being healthy. And it's a very interesting thing. And obviously he can now say it's an award-winning app. So
that is
very interesting
just
story.
Fantastic. I mean, so not only does this young man have the technical ability, but he also, it sounds like, has a really good head on his shoulders in terms of creating something which is very important and useful. I mean, everyone needs to be in tune with their health. And if you could, it seems like a lot of people might as well have an umbilical cord attached to their phone because it's always there and they're always looking at it. At least maybe once in a while they'll look at it and find out something about their health that maybe they ought to be using the phone to listen to music from time to time and jog or something like that, get some exercise.
Yeah, really.
Right.
And that's one thing he said. I guess the idea first started to come to him in fifth grade when he was working on a science project, and he actually said he's so many kids are using their smartphones and that sort of thing that he decided just trying to lecture to them or give them an app that just talks, just provides information and nothing else, might not get listened to or used, but something like this that actually has a sensor with it and different things will grab their attention. So very smart young lad.
Interactive. Well, congratulations to him, to his parents, and to his teachers. What a story. That is fantastic. We move on to something that is a rarity for me, Brooke. I am probably one of the most anti-reality TV show people around. I don't get into reality television. First thing, it's a misnomer most of the time. It's the farthest thing from reality. But I have to admit, I had to watch one of our local restaurants, which is also a hotel, being featured on national television recently on Fox TV, Maison de Masia. And the folks at the Bulletin, I guess, did a follow-up with her.
Yeah, we were over there Monday night while she was having a viewing party. I guess she herself didn't watch it because she wasn't sure how it was going to turn out. But she had a full house, and we took a bunch of photos of people over there. And then I spoke with her later the next day, and she said it was very interesting. Her first words were, "Oh, my God." That was her three-word response. I guess the phones were ringing off the hook from all across the country, negative and positive phone calls. People were calling, telling her not to sing, that she was a terrible singer, because if you remember on the show, she is a singer, and she likes to sing at her
If I remember. If I could turn back time.
If you could turn back time, maybe you wouldn't remember. But
let's put it this way. For folks who didn't see the show, my reference there is Cher, and there was some Some interesting moments on the show where she was singing some Cher music.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, and it didn't obviously go over well with host Gordon Ramsay.
No.
But she's got a lot of positive attention, too. People calling, wanting to ask about the place. And maybe she said there were even people who were just driving through, out-of-staters, who had heard that, or seen in their hotel room or whatever, that the show. And they were coming through the Cruces area, so they actually stopped and have lunch.
Oh.
Just to see it. And she said the place was, she did double the business she usually does on Tuesday. So a lot of people showed up. Good for her. Yeah, hopefully local. So,
and
you know.
She's looking to sell, right?
Yes, she's had the place for sale, and you know, maybe this will help get it more attention. And so it was very interesting, and you know, she's thinking if it just gets, you know, no news, any news is good news, as they say. You know, what did P.T. Barnum say? Something about there's no bad publicity or something like that. I don't know if that's quite true, but she's hoping it'll drive people through the door, and then they'll have a good experience and come back.
Well, and to be fair, for folks who made it through the entire hour, you know, at the end of the show, you see a transformation that the host, who's a rather abrasive gentleman, Gordon Ramsay, I believe his name is,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, but he had some really, what some people might say were some really good ideas, and we got to see, you know, some real effect of his visit.
Yeah, so. No doubt about it. And she's kept some of the changes and hasn't kept others, so.
Well, speaking of change, and it's every year at this time we're talking about it. In sports this week, your second love after news and business and all that good stuff, you are talking about Aggie football. And it's, believe it or not, here we are. We're getting ready for practice already.
That's right. Friday, August 1st, they start their fall camp. So they'll get ready. And also, there is something new. This is their first year back in the Sun Belt Football Conference. Aggie fans probably remember they used to be in the Sun Belt for a while. They went to the WAC. The WAC kept bleeding teams and eventually dropped football. And so NMSU is back into the Sun Belt Conference as a football-only playing member. So I write a little column talking about that and sort of the history of that. And I think it's a good place for the Aggies to be. Sure, geographically, they don't have real connection with teams like Georgia State and, you know, Troy, Alabama, and Louisiana Lafayette. But also, they can develop sort of those rivalries. And it's a good sort of solid, stable conference, which is what this team really needs. They played an independent, slate of games last year. And they had to play a bunch of bigger schools, and it just didn't turn out real well. They went 2-10. And so this year they're starting anew. Second-year head coach Doug Martin and his crew, and ready to prove themselves. And August 28th is a Thursday, and that's their first home game against Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Wow.
So that is coming up fast.
Great. That's amazing. So just about a month away, and we're going to be watching Aggie football. So good luck to them in the Sun Belt now, and that's going to be fun. All right, taking a look at business now, Brooke, and we kind of talked about this last week. Career readiness boot camps that are happening. There's another one coming up, and I think you have a story in the bulletin this week about the boot camps and actually seeing one of these things in action.
Yeah, exactly. They held one earlier, and it's a chance to twofold to give people skills. Interviewing skills, resume writing skills, that sort of thing. Some people who are maybe a little rusty on that or maybe have never had any training in that area. But also to sort of place them with, you know, companies that have openings and to sort of give them a nudge in that direction or, you know, what's out there right now. And they're saying they have a challenge to fill about 1,000 entry-level jobs over the next several months. So that is very interesting.
And that's just in southern New Mexico, right?
That's just in southern New Mexico, yeah. And so there's, you know, the influx of new companies in the Santa Teresa and the Las Cruces job market is inflating a little bit. So they're hoping to get people ready for this.
And it's important. You know, you and I have talked about this before because we've been in the position of, you know, interviewing people and looking at resumes, looking at cover letters and, you know, getting these skills. Sometimes folks do not really have formal training in these skills. So the opportunity to get this is just invaluable. And, you know, after you go for the interview, don't forget the thank you note. You know, I mean, nowadays, I suppose it is Don't quote me on this because I don't want any career services person to say, "Oh, you're wrong, Fred. Why did you say that?" But I think it's probably pretty acceptable that folks can send a thank you email. I've gotten many of those, and I've sent some of those out years ago. But you know that that's important too.
Yeah, etiquette, definitely, and sort of the soft skills they talk about too. Just sort of having a work ethic, how to act, you know, at an interview, and everything that goes along with that, that some people, sometimes even if you know it, you need to be reminded of it. You're like, oh, yeah, I need to do that. I need to send a thank you. So the next one is actually this week. So the 30th, which is Wednesday, I do believe.
All right.
It's 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have contact information about how you can get involved in that.
All right. Check it out in the Las Cruces Bulletin or lascrucesbulletin.com. And now we go to Life is Good in Las Cruces and Men Who Cook, an annual fundraiser for hospice coming up the weekend of August 9th.
Yeah, very interesting. I've participated for 6 years. This will be the first year I haven't done it.
And what did you cook, Brooke?
Oh, last year was a jicama salad.
Oh,
which was very good. I wasn't sure how popular it would be, but a lot of people ate it right up.
Oh,
some people thanked me for having a vegetarian offering. There wasn't a lot of those. I didn't do it necessarily to be vegetarian. It just turned out that way, but it was very good. And I've done chicken piccata and pizza dip, which was very popular. I tried to do different things.
Very cool.
But this year just got a little crazy for me, so
you're
I'm not
just
able
gonna
to
eat, not
right.
cook.
But it's a great fundraiser from Mesilla Valley Hospice. They're always a good cause to support, and they're in a position right now where they need money even in the worst way, I should say, because, you know, they've had not near as many patients as they were anticipating, and they're having some trouble right now with their finances. So they have a fundraiser going on, and this is a big one. And they're a great organization to get out and support.
Absolutely. So. Weekend of August 9th. And we also have something coming up in September. Folks may have read about this in the bulletin already previously with an advertisement. Or maybe they've seen some note about it, and you have a story about it this week. A celebrity fundraiser, and this is associated with Mark Medoff, and it's at the Center for the Arts at New Mexico State University.
Yeah, Mark Medoff, as we know, is our resident award-winning playwright and screenplay writer, and wrote Children of a Lesser God, Academy Award-winning movie. And but he's been involved in Las Cruces and NMSU for decades. And had the chance to probably go other places and write, but he's wanted to stay here and he's wanted to help teach. And he's having this first ever event. They sort of designed it like the Domenici Conference, where people from all across the country and big names come and discuss energy policy and politics and different things. So this is called the Far From Finished Celebrity Fundraiser. And it's taking place September 6th at the NMSU Cedar Theater for the Arts at 8 p.m. And to benefit the Mark Medoff Lecture Series. And we're going to see some interesting people. Richard Dreyfuss is going to be on hand, Linda Hamilton, Chris McDonald. People might remember him as Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore. And Jesse Plemons, who was on Breaking Bad. Jeffrey Tambor. A lot of people will recognize him.
He's been in a lot of sitcoms.
He's the MC, so.
Probably the best is he was the dad in Arrested Development, which you have on your Netflix list now because I told you to check it out. At least the first three seasons.
Yeah. Good show. What I've seen of it is pretty good. So
Great.
My apologies. But, Great. Interesting event, and it's coming up in a little more than a month.
Awesome. All right. Finally, thank goodness we don't have another D or F. We have another good week with your resident movie reviewer and arts writer, Zach Hansen. This week, a movie I had not heard about the first one, but there were already the sequel, and it sounds like an interesting concept, granted a little scary concept. The movie is called The Purge: Anarchy.
I think Zach was kind of surprised that he kind of liked it, because the first one he didn't like. He didn't think it was very good. 2013, The Purge came out, and little $3 million budgeted movie. And I think it had something to do with, you know, like for one day you can commit any crime without consequences. And obviously the chaos that ensues with that.
I guess.
And this one, you know, like you said, it's called The Purge: Anarchy. And it has different actors. It's not a sequel as far as that is concerned. There's all different actors and everything. But it follows these people during this. I guess it's not a whole day. It's a 12-hour period. and an outlet for rage, hatred, and vitriol.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, and he gives it a B.
But he gives it a B.
A B rating.
Yeah, so that's not too bad.
Must be the concept. So very good stuff. We'll have that opportunity to read that review and all of those stories this week in the Las Cruces Bulletin. And we've been speaking with Brooke Stockberger, who's with us every week on Images, managing editor at the Bulletin. Brooke, great to have you.